Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. And, boy, I tell you, I'm pretty sure Anthony Davis has heard all the criticism the past few days about, oh, he's hurt again, the Lakers stink, they're going to be in seventh. AD right now, going to the fourth quarter, has 26 points and 8 boards for the Lakers. They trail the Blazers by 4, 82-78. Again, Lakers are playing without LeBron James. The Blazers being led by Damian Lillard. He has 28 on the night so far. But clearly, you know, for a team that is sorely lacking something, coming off of last night in the ankle/back spasms that kept Anthony Davis out, he looks clearly much, much better tonight, moving like the Anthony Davis we're used to. Can't say the Anthony Davis of old, because really the AD we've seen up until most of this season, whether he's been on a little bit of load maintenance all year long. But clearly, this is the AD that we expected. And even if the Lakers lose this game, look, we told you last night, if they wind up in the play-in round, they're in the play-in round, right? It's not that big a deal. But as long as I would take it as a victory that this is the Anthony Davis they're seeing, and that's the best thing, because this is the guy they need the rest of the way.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Over the last 24 hours, the discussion about Anthony Davis went from he's the linchpin, he's the guy, to look at him, he's a fraud with no LeBron. It's like, whoa, what the hell are we doing here? But certainly the injury was curious, and as we talked about last night, part of it was, you know what, you waved the white flag. You're done. You knew you weren't winning that game. There was going to be no comeback. So why waste his effort if he's not feeling 100%? How bad was it? I don't know. And we won't know, right? It's the beauty of having a back injury. Unless there's literally a broken vertebra in there, nobody knows, because it doesn't show up on an x-ray, right? Is your back sore? Yeah, it's sore. I'm telling you, I can't go. You never can't tell. But for Anthony Davis, certainly it was a rough 24 hours in terms of people taking a baseball bat to the year that he did last year to establish and push aside his previous playoff failures. Like, he got so much street cred for what happened last postseason and winning the title in the bubble that it just seemed like it was erased yesterday, at least if you were reading social media and some of the columns and some of the hot take artists in the morning zoo that we have here in sports talk radio and television. But here he comes back out, 10 of 19, 26 points, and given his best effort, hell, he may end up with a triple-double before this thing ends. Will it be enough? Not sure. Because eventually they have to unleash Carmelo Anthony for Portland. 15 minutes, just two shot attempts? Did you not teach him better than that? Shot attempts? Come on, man.
Melo is resting. You know, here's the thing. This is, you know, the Knicks are on the West Coast, so he's interested in what's going on. So he's watching that game on his phone on the sideline, seeing how the Knicks are doing against the Suns. That's what's happening.
Oh, I like that. No, that's good.
Yeah. That's what's going on right there. So we will keep you updated on this game. Again, going to the fourth quarter right now, it's the Blazers 86-78. Speaking of the Knicks and the Suns have now opened up a 10-point lead over the Knicks with about 7 minutes to go. They had a big run to start the fourth quarter. They lead at 107-97, 22 points and 13 boards for DeAndre Ayton, leading the way for the Suns. But tonight, we had baseball history. And now you and I are going to get into it over what a no-hitter means. We almost had two tonight. Sean Manaea of the A's had a no-hitter going to the eighth inning. It got broken up. It would have been the second no-hitter of the night because the Reds' Wade Miley threw a clean slate at the Cleveland club. Yes, I just gave you that line from Eight Men Out. 3-0. Here's the final out of the gym.
Yes!
For Wade Miley.
Luplo 0-3 tonight with a couple of strikeouts. Here's the 1-1. Swing. A weak grounder to short. Farmer in. He has it to first, and that's it! A no-hitter for Wade Miley! The 17th no-hitter in Reds history. And the first for the veteran left-hander.
So there it is, Reds Radio Network, Wade Miley with the no-hitter. 3-0 is your final score. He was back out in the ninth inning after throwing 106 pitches. We said, look, David Bell's got to bring him out. He brings him out, and it goes bang, bang, bang. He's got a no-hitter. And here's how times have changed, right? You want to talk about the importance of a no-hitter now in the sports world. We have always seen no-hitters. Right, but we're in the age of the pitcher now, and clearly we've already seen a few. They've seen three so far this season, and Major League Baseball wants to kind of stop that because we don't like pitching well. Pitching well doesn't mean good ratings. We like runs. But it's more than that about how baseball likes a no-hitter. When I remember when I first started doing radio, right? When I first started doing radio, I'm going back, you know, about 17, 18 years. I'm in, you know, 2000, 2003-ish, when I'm doing it, you know, every day. And when somebody pitched a no-hitter, like, everything stopped. And that was the story.
No, that's right. It took over everything.
Right?
Absolutely.
It didn't matter what was going on. Because, look, I've always done nights in my career. I love doing nights. I love the energy of doing nights and the fact that there's games going on and we're reflecting on what's happening. It's fun. It's a big adrenaline rush. And I always did nights. So always I was on the air when a no-hitter came in. And it didn't matter if it was a big pitcher, like a, you know, like a Randy Johnson or something, or if it was a Philip Humber who was throwing a no-hitter a perfect
legend.
Game. Like, when that happened, everything stopped. And it was, this is a no-hitter, and this is the story. And it's the lead story on SportsCenter. It's everywhere on the internet. It's the story. It's the big breaking news banner. So-and-so has a no-hitter, and everything becomes about it. And you read about the guy the next day, and you read about his life, and you read about everything that happened. You read about who he had at the ballpark with him. And there were so many things. You couldn't get enough stats. And it was always, for me, the most paranoid night I would have, because it would be, look, I always loved adjusting to breaking news,
but of course we do that better than anybody in this business.
Exactly,
there's no question about it.
We do big moments.
That's the hallmark of this show. We do big moments.
But when it comes to, when it came to no hitters, I was always saying, oh my god, now I got to do 2.5 hours on this story. And it's a pitcher that nobody knows, but it's a big story, so we kind of have to do it. And I would just get paranoid about, how am I going to talk about 2.5 hours about this guy? I mean, how can I do it? Can I talk 2.5 hours about Dallas Braden pitching a no-hitter? Can I really do that? But I'm going to
have
to.
Well, he was quirky enough that you could at least get a little bit of off his personality.
It was, but still, it was everything you talked about.
And no, but now, that was the expectation. You're absolutely right. Because it occurred enough, right? Because we've got over 300 of them, right, in the lexicon and in the history of Major League Baseball. But when we're starting to get guys working deep into the seventh, eighth, ninth inning, seemingly on a nightly basis, we've already got three this year. Yeah, you're doing a little hand wringing, going, yeah, does it still have the same juice that it wants to? Like, me as a baseball fan, yeah, it does. But for sports talk radio, it's like, yeah, it's another one.
Yeah, like when Edwin Jackson pitched a no-hitter we got to talk about Edwin Jackson, right? When Ubaldo Jimenez pitched, we got to talk about Ubaldo Jimenez. I mean, how are we going to do this? I mean, really? When Clay Buchholz pitched a no-hitter, we got to talk about Clay Buchholz. I mean, how do we do it? I mean, I'm sorry, four no-hitters this year. No-hitters this year. So it's gone from the fact that it's not just about this year being, you know, because now the big debate's going to be how big a deal is a no-hitter. But it's gone from being that kind of story about 15 years ago to now it's, hey, a guy pitched a no-hitter, and it's just one of many stories. Like what's going on with the Lakers and the Blazers is just as big a story, if not bigger, right? Knicks and the Suns, just as big a story, if not bigger. The potential that there could have been a fight between Francisco Lindor and Jeff McNeil, which we'll get to in about 10 minutes. I mean, that's going to be a bigger story than the no-hitter.
Right.
So it's kind of no-hitters now are like, you know, we've seen them a lot, and maybe because we've gotten so many of them in the past few years, the coverage of them is, okay, we realize we don't need to, the demand is there. People don't need to know every single thing about it. So it's a story you can do and then move on from. I mean,
otherwise we'd be breaking down all the big defensive plays. We'd be talking about some of the history of a team, like the fact that Cleveland's now been no hit twice this year. Yeah, that's by the way, there's five because Baumgartner got screwed. No, so there should be five. But you've got Musgrove going all the way back to April 9th, and then Rodon against the Indians. Musgrove's came against the Rangers. John Means, that huge story that we did the other night as the Orioles. First one since the hirsute Jim Palmer pitched one back in 1969 as an individual. And then, obviously, Wade Miley tonight. I mean, it's happening so frequently. It's another day in baseball with the three outcome worlds. So I can understand why there'd be some nervousness.
You know, and now that you see no hitters in that frame, now that it's no longer the big story, the big 2.5. Hey, we got to do the whole show on this. So I guarantee you, all the shows on Fox Sports Radio tomorrow, maybe they mention it. But probably not. I mean, they're on to other things, right? This weekend, we're on to the NBA and other baseball. And Aaron, what happens with Aaron Rodgers? What former teammate says Aaron is struggling with staying in Green Bay? I mean, what we're going to hear, Donald Driver is going to start saying things. We're going to hear Greg Jennings.
Well, maybe I'm on Greg Green, Jones. Yeah. You know, I mean, one guy after the next.
What former Green Bay backer is going to say Aaron Rodgers is struggling? I mean, that's going to be what the shows
Robert
are.
Robert Brooks.
Oh, man. I don't think – did Robert Brooks ever play with Aaron Rodgers?
I don't think so, but he's due to pipe up anyway.
That's still pretty good. Antonio Freeman would weigh in, I'm sure.
Oh, nicely done.
But
now I want to look up the career of Robert Brooks. he was there. He was done in 2000. Never mind.
He gave me one of my best fantasy football wins of all time when he caught that 99-yard touchdown pass on Monday Night Football. Oh, that was such a huge win. I was like, oh, my God, I won. Oh, my God, I won.
Monday Night Football, man. There's nothing better than vanquishing a fantasy foe and texting him and saying, blank you.
Because going in, I'm like, I need 100 yards and a touchdown from Robert Brooks. It's not impossible, but, boy, it's going to be tough. And then this third play of the game, he's got a 99-yard touchdown. I'm like, yeah! Yeah, Robert Brooks. So I ask you, like, how big a deal is a no-hitter now? I mean, when you hear about a no-hitter in Major League Baseball, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being you know, people just blow by it, and with 10 being it's so important, it used to be a 10, and now it's only even something that's relevant unless it's a huge player who did it. Like if Jacob DeGrom did it, or, you know, one of the big starting pitchers, and we can talk about their place and are they the best pitcher in baseball, all these things. Or if you have controversy alongside it, whether there's a bad umpiring call or there's someone tried to bunt to break it up, unless there's some kind of controversy with it. Unless there's some kind of controversy with it, a no-hitter is like an hour after it's done, it's like it's done. You know, it's over. It's like it's down to a 2 or a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10, which I feel bad. Look, someone like Wade Miley, he's gonna this is gonna be the night he remembers the rest of his baseball career, the rest of his life. He's gonna think about this night every day for the rest of his life. But when it comes to, you know, the national scope of no hitters, unless it's there's something really big with it, you got to have something special. It's like a 2 or a 3, and an hour after it's done, it just goes into the roster of here's what happened tonight. Right? It's great when the immediate thing happens. But then it just goes into, hey, yeah, Wade Miley had a no-hitter. What's next? What are we on to next? What are we breaking down next?
It just sucks because that's the case. Because you look at the no-hitters, just take the 2021 ones that count, right? And I'll put Baumgartner over there. Look, he's got a lot of awards. He's got a lot of hardware. And he's got a lot of cash. So nobody's crying for him. But in the end, every inscription you can add at an autograph signing is always fun. But when you look at the stories of all these guys, that's where it gets fun, Jason. And it doesn't get lost completely. Certainly for you and I, because a lot of them fall on our watch. It's the blessing that we have being here as the East Coast games and the West Coast games are ongoing, and with Steve DeSager and Lee DeLapp and Alex Teichert and our team, the editors in the back of the room there at Fox Sports Radio, that we can bring the good. And obviously with Major League Baseball, you can't play any sound until the games are done. But it's still the point of, you know, painting the picture with our words and excitement, because at the heart of it, what makes us good at our job and what gives us the job in general is our fandom, right? That's what brought us to want to do this. And when you have the passion that we do for this, it doesn't matter who it is. But the stories of all the guys and their roads, particularly the last three guys, like Wade Miley, at this point, he's a journeyman kind of guy, right? 500 pitcher, been in the league a decade plus. John Means, we talked about it for the Orioles. Guy that put up a LinkedIn page and was going to be a sub teacher. And now he's pitching a no-hitter against the Mariners. Carlos Rodon of the White Sox. Personally, obviously, everybody that listens to the show knows my Chicago love and that the White Sox are my squad. I think I have like 9 different hats, and the Baines jersey hangs proudly alongside a very old Maglio Ordonez one as well, a hero. I still need a Canerico, though. Although, since he told Frostburg to beat it after that birthday greeting, you know, it's kind of tough, man. You know, he told the show to beat it. And then Musgrove at the start of the year just because of the hype of the Padres. Like, there's all these great narratives that flow over, and maybe they get buckled under because we see so many games going into the 7th or 8th inning as no hitters. But you know what? I'm still going to celebrate them. So you could take it down to a 2 or a 3. I'm still going to go to a hard 7 on this one.
Twitter at how about a Fresca? Mike gets swollen dome. Look at you on the hard 7.
Well, or a hard 8, just so I can get some, you know, craps and dice shooting in on a Friday night. How about that?
The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. You need to hire people fast. Indeed can help you beat the clock with powerful hiring tools like Instant Match. Just sponsor a job and Indeed will send you a list of resumes from Indeed's database on the spot. They also have 135 skills tests for things like computer proficiency or customer service talent so you can find the right candidates faster. Did you know 10 hires are made every minute on Indeed? Just goes to show when you need people for work, Indeed works. Visit Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Well, coming up next, a story that is so totally Mets, but you absolutely need to know because as much as, hey, Wade Miley has a big no-hitter, this may be a bigger baseball story. And wait till I tell you why. That's straight ahead right here on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I was waiting for a scream or something. I don't know.
It is now time to talk about rats
there it is.
And raccoons.
Rats. I mean,
as big a story as the Wade Miley no-hitter was, this baseball story is actually bigger. You know, and look, and this is part when you talk about star power, because when we talk about no hitters a few minutes ago, not meaning as much as they did, because we see a lot of them, you know, does it merit constant coverage like it did 10 and 15 years ago? It doesn't. But part of it's also star power. You know, if there's a controversy about a no hitter, hey, it's a big deal. It's a big talking point. But if it's not a star player, that's where we're a star driven society now. And if it doesn't happen with a star, it's kind of hard to have any legs on it. So you got to be a star to be able to cut through the clutter where there's so many stories and information and things coming at you every 5 seconds. You have to be a star. And so this is why when you have Wade Miley versus Francisco Lindor, Francisco Lindor wins out. Now, why are we talking about Francisco Lindor and rats and raccoons? This is a so totally Met story. This is
This
is a Hall of Fame
Met
so totally Met story. This is I can't. Okay, so in the middle of the game tonight, there seemed to be a skirmish in the hallway to the clubhouse. Mets players ran, coming off the field after a half inning, running into the tunnel to see what was going on because something was happening. Here's what it sounded like when it occurred.
Smith and Conforto ran down, so did VR.
So something happened down that tunnel. We have no idea, but obviously it drew the attention of everybody in that dugout. And we cannot speculate on what it might be.
So this was during the seventh inning stretch after coming off the field. Now, there was a little bit of a confusion on a play earlier on a grounder between McNeil and Lindor. And you see the players run into the clubhouse, run into the tunnel, and Conforto comes out looking like, oh, man. Like the look on his face is, oh, man, I can't believe that. Like there's no laughing. There's no giggling. It's just, oh, man. So he comes out. And everybody wants to know what that is. What happened? And then it starts breaking, because when they saw the people coming out of the clubhouse, that Jeff McNeil, Mets second baseman, and Francisco Lindor got into some kind of dust-up or fight in the walkway to the clubhouse. So, of course, after the Mets win in walk-off style on the big walk-off fielder's choice, that's all anybody wanted to talk about on the post-game Zoom. So when Francisco Lindor comes out, I'm thinking, okay, we're going to get this story now. But instead of saying, hey, we disagreed, but everything is fine. No. This is the story we get from Francisco Lindor.
I told him, I was like, hey, I'd never seen a New York rat. So we went down sprinting about to go see a New York rat. And he got mad at me. He's like, no, it's not a rat. It's a raccoon. I'm like, hell no, man. It's a damn rat. It's a New York rat, man. I was just crazy because we were going back and forth debating if it was a rat or a raccoon. Crazy, man. Insane.
Who was he? Who are you debating that with?
With Jeff. I was like, bro, you gotta check this out. I was like, this is a New York rat. He's like, no, man, I've been here longer than you.
Do you believe me? Does everybody believe me that I thought it was a rat and it was a raccoon? You guys believe me?
That's a good sell job, though. That is fantastic. That is the greatest excuse. Because, look, we long have had baseball players try to cover up inane and just absurd injuries in the off seasons, right? And some of the stuff they do. Because have you ever seen a Major League Baseball contract?
Yes, I haven't seen one recently, but I've seen the pages and pages that it is, yes.
Yeah, so, like, for those unaware, you're talking about, on some of these, 8 to 10 pages of activities separated only by a comma. Not on, single line. This is just, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And everything else you might possibly want to do other than watching TV and having someone serve you dinner, we would still suggest that someone else cut your steak, given some of the injuries in the past. Thank you. Please sign here. That's what a Major League Baseball contract is, right? All of those different things. And we, how many times have we had the, yeah, he's lying? It's kind of like the Juwan Jones story we talked about with Jason Cole a little bit. Was he really working out? Was he doing something else, right? Was he playing some grab ass? The world may never know. But here, nobody's buying this.
It was a rat or a raccoon.
Nobody's buying this. They put a good face on it, but no.
I look at the story and I go, if a teenager came in and gave an excuse, they would have more believable things. They would have more believable things. I mean, seriously, that's a more believable story. I mean, quick aside before we get to what Jeff McNeil said.
Yeah.
I went to a party in high school at my friend's house, and it was one of those, weekend parties. His parents were away, so he had parties in the house. And if Zoe is listening somewhere in the house right now, that can never happen. We're never going away. All right, so we have the party. And girl came to the party. It was in our class, friends. We were friends with. And she parallel parked the car, and she hit a fire hydrant. And so she crumpled the back of the car, and she comes in the house, and she's just all tears going, oh my God, I just wrecked the car, all this stuff. And we're like, do you want to go home? No, I don't know. And of course, this becomes the whole drama of the night, right? This is the whole drama of the night. So we're watching this, and at some point, because I was never in for the drama in high school, I'm like, okay, I've sat here for a half hour listening to this. I'm going to go talk to other people, right? There's got to be other fans. There's got to be some girls I want to go talk to more than try to figure this out. So they came up with the idea at the end that this was what it was. So one of the guys of the party said, I got it. So this is what her and a couple people decided. One of our guys wrote a note on the car, to leave it on the car, that said, I'm sorry I hit your car. I have no insurance. Here's $100. And they went, they tried to go around the party getting people to pony up money to put in a envelope to leave on the window. And I'm like, I remember they came up to me and said, do you have, I said, yeah, I have $5 for what? And they say, oh, this is what we're doing. I go, you think this is going to work? I mean, I'm 17, and I know that this idea isn't going to work. I know it's not going to work. I know it's not. So I'm like, this is just, what are you going to do? You have all these crumpled up bills. Someone's putting it like they left a strip club, and they just, here's money. I have no insurance, but I have $100. Well, what are you trying to do? So then I think that idea kind of went out the window. And then when we asked what happened on Monday, she goes, oh, I'm in so much trouble. My parents knew I lied to them. And we're like, what happened? And she said, oh, I told them that somebody hit the car and I didn't come home until 2:33 in the morning because I went to get an estimate at a garage. And I'm like, they didn't believe you? I go, is there a garage open at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning? I mean, what is it, Adventures in Babysitting, and Vincent D'Onofrio is there fixing your car at 1 in the morning? I said, they go, no, they didn't think it was open. So, I got in trouble. I'm like, oh, my goodness. The ideas that people think people believe in life, it's amazing. Really? It's a rat or a raccoon? Seriously, Francisco Lindor? Now, nobody believed this. The Mets beat writers are all going, Lindor is sticking with the rat and raccoon story. Okay. So then Jeff McNeil, who wasn't going to come out, but now they said, dude, you have to come out. This is a thing now. You got to come out and talk about this. So Jeff McNeil comes out. Look, Jeff McNeil's a great hitter. Not exciting at all, right? When you talk to the guy, not an exciting guy.
Sure.
He's one of those straight-laced guys. Yeah, here you go. This is what's going on. So they asked Jeff McNeil, dude, did you get in a fight with Francisco or what happened in the dugout? He said you were disagreeing over whether it was a rat or a raccoon. You guys saw, and here's Jeff McNeil.
Why should people believe that story?
You know, we just like to have fun, and you know, the rats in New York are things. So you know, he thought he saw that, and you know, I saw what I saw, and you know, that's just the way it is.
Are you okay with people not believing that?
They can believe whatever they want. You know, we're you know, a tight-knit group. You know, everybody loves everybody, and you know, it's just a great group of guys, great clubhouse. You know, we have a lot of fun, and you know, just a lot of positivity. You know, between this group.
Why not just say, yeah, it was a rat and a raccoon. Why, you guys don't believe me? Instead, listen, I'm going to brush this off and say, yeah, hey, we love each other. It's a great tight-knit group. You can believe what you want to believe. Oh, my goodness. This is totally Mets.
Do we now have to have Dominic Smith and the other guy, and Conforto and all those guys that ran into the tunnel confirm or deny this? Because they're not running down there just to see a rat and a raccoon. I'm sorry. You live in New York. You've seen them before.
Hey, guys, come down here and settle this debate, because two of our fun-loving teammates don't know if they're seeing a rat or a raccoon. Oh, let me go down there. They ran in there.
Our
and
fun-loving
Conforto comes out. Look at the look on Conforto's face when he comes out.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? Come on. There is a zero. I believe this story. There's a 0% chance that I believe this story. Zero. There's a less than zero chance that I believe this story.
Less than zero. Nicely done. One of your favorite movies of all time. But Steve Cohen did take to Twitter, and he went trending when he said that was big after the Lindor home runs. So you got that. You got some positivity in between the what the hell is going on with these two guys?
There's stuff. I mean, really, this is like the first or the first chapter of the Mets book of 2021 is the Steve Cohen, and here comes Lindor. They hire him, and he stinks for the first month. And here's the rat versus the raccoon.
I mean, who's the rat? Who's the raccoon? 877-99 on Fox.
I could just. Lindor was the rat up until tonight, but then he had a home run. McNeil would have been the rat. Now he's the raccoon. Okay, so we got Lindor's
but,
the rat.
But how do you not prep McNeil for his questioning?
Dude, can you go answer this question? What happened? Because Francisco told the story.
We all
about
love
you guys.
Each other.
And he's winking at him going, Francisco told the story about how you guys saw the rat and the raccoon. So can you go tell the media that so we can all go home?
When
great.
I nod
thanks,
my head,
Jeff.
Mr. Thompson.
I think he's talking to you. I really, there is a 0%.
So bad.
I can just imagine, hey, this is going to be a thing. What do we say? Let's pretend we saw something. Well, it's New York. Hey, remember we saw that rat? Let's say it's a rat. What else could it be in there? I don't know. A raccoon? Yeah. Rat and a raccoon. Yeah. Wouldn't it be better if it was a cat? Because there's big cats. No. A cat doesn't look like a rat. It's going to be a rat. A raccoon sounds funnier. That sounds better. I like that. Rat versus a raccoon.
Oh my goodness. This is so totally Mets.
That's so totally Mets. I mean,
the Jets have a new quarterback, buddy.
Yeah, hey, I was happy about that. But he threw passes today. There was video of him. It was great. And look, I'm happy the Mets won tonight. And Lindor had a home run. And hey, all right.
Yeah.
And they're trying to put this behind them. Obviously, it's not something that's lingering because they both came out. They talked about it. And it's done. You know, in their world, it's done.
Sure,
but now,
it's done.
The best part is this story lives forever. I mean, this is like one of the best, most this is like, you know, Yoenis Cespedes buying the pig and then cooking it. You know,
a great story.
This is Cespedes. I'm hurt on my ranch when I was running away from a wild boar. I mean, this is one of those, hey, there's Met stories that live forever. This is that story. Remember the rat versus the raccoon? I can't believe Rat Raccoon isn't a Twitter handle right now. Let me see. Rat, Mets,
well,
Rat,
I'm,
Raccoon.
Well, I'm working to build a graphic. I should have it done by the end of the weekend. I can test some of the stuff I've been trying to learn during the pandemic as to whether we can merchandise the rat v raccoon situation.
Marcus Stroman tweeted out, still not sure if it was a rat or a raccoon, however great win for the squad. Mets.
This is a poo-poo story. Sir,
I mean, this is just absolutely
so
insane.
Bad.
I mean, look, I think the best thing to be on Twitter is someone starts a Twitter account as Mets Rat and someone starts a Twitter as Mets Raccoon, and they just go back and forth at each other with Mets insults, like for the rest of the year.
This might be better than Captain Andrew Luck when it's all said and done.
Ooh, I don't know, man. Captain Andrew Luck was really good. I mean, this is a rat and a raccoon. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it could be if you get the right people running the Mets Rat and the Mets Raccoon Twitter, and that what they do is go back and they throw Mets insults at each other. I mean, this could be a pretty big deal. And so, patent pending. If you ever do that and it gets sponsored, I get 3% of that money. I mean, this could be a really big thing.
I think it blows up, and if nothing else, it just helps to obfuscate and diminish any of the ills you have going on. On the field. Let's just blow this up to the side. And it becomes a circus, and you can let people chase it. And hopefully Lindor and McNeil are legitimately okay with each other. Because if not, those are your two studs, man. That's going to be a problem.
Less than 0% chance, I believe, this story.
They got to wear rat shirts. Maybe they come out in a weasel suit like Bobby the Brain Heenan all those years ago. See, full circle to the start of the show. You got to listen to the whole thing.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Really? I thought you would have Rocky Raccoon. I thought you'd have Rocky Raccoon. I thought you'd have Rocky Raccoon.
Now, that would have been a little deeper cut for
folks.
That would
have been deeper. Rocky
Somewhere
Raccoon.
Somewhere in the backwoods.
Rocky Raccoon. Yeah, we'll have more on the
name of Rocky Raccoon.
We'll have the Mets' great Rat Raccoon story, which is now taking over. It's going to be the story of the weekend because, you know, Mets. No.
I saw a rat.
I don't even think there was a rat or a raccoon.
Really?
Can't shoot one that doesn't exist.
Family's all rats.
Can't do that.
Are you saying they're all lying?
Can't do it.
One day his woman ran off with another guy.
Can't do it.
Hit young Rocky in the eye.
The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. So the Lakers lose to the Blazers. They now fall to 7th in the Western Conference. They are a game now out of the top 6, meaning they are clearly in the play-in tournament. Teams finish 7 through 10 go in the play-in rounds. If the Lakers finish 7th, they will have to lose twice before they get eliminated. And I get that this is not where you want to be, right? Nobody wants to be in the play-in round. And it's because you could lose a couple of games and suddenly you're going home. And I get it. But it's really not the worst thing for the Lakers. It really isn't. I mean, yes, you don't want to have to get in there and play Steph Curry in a round where maybe he scores 50 and suddenly, everybody's saying MVP. Although the votes have to be in because that's technically a playoff.
Yeah, no, that's right.
But they still be
I don't
saying,
know.
No,
they
MVP.
Might change the rules for Steph Curry.
Oh, they might. Oh, we're going to make the playoffs count because we want Steph Curry to have the MVP. I get it. But clearly, I thought the Lakers would hit this part of the schedule when LeBron comes back and AD would be back and they would win a lot of games and they would clearly finish in, you know, if not in 6th, then maybe in 5th place. They'd be able to do that. Now that's not going to happen. And it really doesn't matter anymore. You don't want to fall into 8th. You want to stay in 7th. You have a 3-game lead on 8th, though, with 5 left to go. So you're still in a pretty good spot. AD was back tonight. He was playing well. I don't think you go crazy with bringing LeBron back and going nuts and trying to win these games. I think you just let it go that you're going to be in the play-in round and just get healthy and focus and be ready for the play-in round when it happens. Win your couple of games there And then you'll wind up playing, you know, maybe Phoenix, you know, or the Jazz in the first round. And as good as they are you really that scared of playing the Jazz or the Suns if you're healthy? You're not. You're more scared of the Clippers, who could finish third. And guess what? That's where you would wind up playing if you finish sixth. So really, it's not that bad for the Lakers to be in seventh. I mean, if you couldn't win like you did and it didn't come back and suddenly things were clicking with LeBron and with AD, but right now, there's worse situations they could be in than where they are right now.
No, and that's the biggest thing, right? You're in. It's just a question of what is the seed. And you saw Anthony Davis play well tonight. Obviously, yesterday, we're still wondering what the hell happened, but he balled out tonight. So you shrug and say, okay, nothing to see here, at least for the moment, after all of the thousand-word diatribes and hand-wringing across L.A. But in the end, they don't win unless LeBron and AD are healthy. And as you and I know, the LeBron situation is a whole other mess that's going on in Lakerland that we'll talk about. But just getting into the playoffs, right? Win and succeed and proceed. Take Calipari. Do you want to be in the one game scenario? No, obviously not. But home court advantage and everybody healthy after a long rest? Yeah, I'll take that over trying to force things to end the regular season.
Free your collective minds. Focus on the playoffs. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. We got more on this story coming up next, as well as a big one out of the NFL. This is Fox.